Ah, sy. All right. Al die gadgets is reg. All right. Wonderful to be together this morning. I must say, I personally feel like, yes, there's just so much happening. Sometimes when I'm together like this, it feels like my, not that I see physical things, but I'm seeing so much, you know, revelation, if I can use that word. Net openbaring, and it's really just such a blessing when we can get together like this and experience, worship God, be with Him. There's a side where we get to be with Him individually, personally. He's my Father. He's a personal daddy, as was referred to. But then there's us together, and it's part of His plan. He wanted a family from the beginning, never just one. He wanted a whole family together. So I want to just touch on a few things. Fritz mentioned, just thanks to Beyond David and Eunice. Monia, say go. Okay, Monia is all achter. Those of you who don't know them, they are like from Stellenbosch. I think Monia is saying no in Stellenbosch. Is it? They say no. Great. All right. So, hi. Oh, say it's not in Wellington. So, but we, many of us served with Via and David and Monia's parents. I got to know Via and David and Monia when they were 3 or 4 years old. And just to see, and so much of our parenting, and unbeknownst to many of you, much of what's in here is thankful to his parents. And and it's so beautiful. We've been able to have coffees together, and it's just such a blessing every time. I just WhatsApped him, said, I'm looking at your children worshiping, and it's beautiful. So you can go and ask them, what did their parents do to them that they're still serving the Lord? And you'll see, find similarities in our midst. But it's great to do that. So, baie dankie dat julle hier is vanmôre, man. You know, ons ken nog nie mekaar goed nie, but by virtue of association, you're blessed. All right. Last week we started on a theme or a topic, the priesthood of all believers. And one of the key things that we took out of that morning was the first step for the priest is looking at the sacrifice, looking at the blessing of God in forgiveness. And what you need to know is that God calls us priests. There's a scripture in Revelation 1 verse 4 to 6. It says, John to the 7 churches. Remember, it's John. He is writing to, it's the final book in the Bible, for those of you who don't know. And so, it's one of these, it's a book full of imagery and symbolism and prophecy. And many of us, kind of, we spoke about Leviticus last week. Many of us don't like to read Leviticus, and then there are many that don't like to read John. Just because Leviticus is full of laws and offerings, and then John is just like, it's not as, it's like a painting, but very abstract. And so we look at John, the letter of John, and like, wow, what? Ah, sorry, Revelation that John wrote. Sorry. Okay. So let's go. Let's get in there. So John, to the 7 churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us, we got that this morning, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us, here's the key, a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that whole letter is going to be about Jesus Christ, but he refers to us as priests. And important for us as we consider, you know, looking at the Bible, is when God tells us what we are, that is what you are. The world is telling us, you've got to work, you've got to decide who you are, you've got to do this, look like this, and then you can decide who you are. And if anybody else tells you something else, you can say, no, I am X, Y, Z. And it's important for us to, you know, kind of know what we're good at and our personality or temperaments, and those are good things, but primarily, fundamental to who you are is what God says you are. Who God says you are. That is the only place that you and I will have the freedom to live what we've been called to live. In fact, sin is not just all the little wrong deeds that you do. It is when we live not according to what He says we are. If you live your own life and He says you are mine, you are in sin. And so, throughout the Bible, there are certain identities, certain pictures that God gives us of how He sees who and what we are that we need to know. Otherwise, we will live in sin. We will miss the mark. We won't hit the place where we... So, success is not just having a full bank balance or having this or that or having done achieved this in the workplace. Although those things are good, success is living what God has called you to be, who God has called you to be. And all the other things will be added unto you if you do that. And the word priest, the picture of a priest, is one of the key pictures in that, which is difficult for us because nowadays priests are kind of weird guys and they do weird and wacky things. And we're not so familiar with that. And that's why we need to look at what the Bible showed. And it gives us an indication of what we are. So He says He has made us priests. So you've got to ask in your heart, priests, He's made me a priest. What does a priest do? Well, how does a priest live? How should I live so that I am like He says I am? That is His will. One of the big things in parenting that I'm faced with every day is to help that young man, potential young man, little boy still, to live not according to his own will, but to my will at this stage. And to help him find that some of his will is sin. And it needs to be redirected. And so it's with a lot of this way, no. This way. Say donkey, asseblief. Hello. All these, and some of them are such basic things, but oftentimes in our Christianity, it's the basic things that we need to do over and over and over so that our will not take precedence over God's will. It's like Barry comes and he encourages us to give, because when I go against my will to hoard and I give, I open up a way that God can use me. No person gets blessed by somebody else without somebody laying down their own will and giving of themselves. And that, my friends, is part of what a priest does. So let's look at a priesthood. Yeah, I've got a bit of a summary. We're going to look at the priest stands in the presence of God. Then we're going to look at he represents the people, he represents God, and then coming and going. Those are some of the key words just to help you kind of hang the different thoughts and things I'm going to touch on this morning. So the priest in the Bible was called to stand in the presence of God. And I touched on that last week. They were representative of the people and they would worship God. And so first and foremost for the priest, he had to come to a place where he is clean and holy and that he can stand in the presence of God. The way that the God dealt with the people in the Old Testament was that he is ultimately holy and clean, and anything unholy, unclean, out of place, coming into his presence, because of that holiness, dies. Okay? And so he had some serious laws in throughout Leviticus that if you do not go according to it, there is death. Because the whole thing was about life and death. And he wanted his people to have life eternally, life with him. But if they had to have life with him, they had to cut off everything that brings in death. And so he shows through all the laws and all the rituals, how does it work? But at the point, at the foundation of it, it was blood. And blood spoke of life and death. And so there were sin offerings that the priest had to give. And that reminded him that he is also sinful like everyone else. but that there is forgiveness. And so his first step as he came in before God was that I am forgiven. And for us, that is the foundation of how and why we can come before God, why we can stand before God. There's nothing that you and I have done, nothing that your parents have done, no amount of whatever pedigree you come from, how Afrikaans you are, or how English you are, how pure your blood is, or how Ghanaian you are, or Ugandan, and we've got the different ethnicities, yeah, nationalities. No matter how pure you are, that will not get you before God. It's the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that priest would step up into this holy place, the place where God's presence was, and he could stand before God. And his work was to worship God. He was consecrated. There was an offering for him. Then Moses anointed them with oil that speaks of the Holy Spirit, and they were set apart. There was a distinguishing between them and the rest. They would worship God. They would minister to God. They always stood because the work was never done. The offerings had to be given over and over. So they had, or there was no seat for the priest in the place. There was one place where they could eat with God, and some of the offerings that they received, they would eat, and it was in the presence of God. But in terms of their work before the Lord, it was always standing, except one place. I just want to touch on that. It says, when the priests came out, this is with Solomon and the temple, it says, they came out of the holy place, for all the priests who were present, or not the Solomon, but they came out of the holy place. It says, without regard to their divisions. Okay, so beautiful, actually. You see here, they didn't regard their divisions because the priests were lots of people. So they had different divisions, each one had their different duties at the temple, and I'm specifically not going into all of that because it can get quite complex. But the point here is they were consecrated without regard to their divisions. They were for God. It says, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons and kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. Do any of you remember where 120 plays another role? Fritz read for us out of Acts, and when the Holy Spirit poured out upon them, they were 120 together. And I thought, I don't know if this is maybe just Ruanya, but they were like the first trumpeters of the early church. And there you go, the church is born, and the Holy Spirit, and it's just havoc. I want to say, God's order, havoc to man. And so it comes, and so they go. And it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison and pray in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for here's the song that they sang. For He is good. What did we sing this morning? He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Or His mercy endures forever. He is good and His mercy endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the God. Man, that's what I want. It was the only time that there was no, they could not worship, they could not stand before God because God invaded. God really filled all in all, and they fell on their faces. I don't know what happened, if it was like, where I've at times experienced God's presence come so heavy on me, I can't stand, or what, how it looked like. But everyone fell in front, and they could not, all they could do is, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. That the fear of God that comes upon people is not just we run away, He's terrible. No, it is, He's good, His mercy endures forever. Friends, if we have not stand in awe of His goodness and His mercy, I want to tell you, you have not seen how good and how merciful He really is. And I want to encourage you, ask for it. Say, Lord, show me Your goodness. When Moses stood before God and said, show me Your glory.
Show me your glory. God told him, I will. And he hid him in a rock, kind of, because God was so magnificent that he could not see him with his eyes. That would not be a good thing for him. And he said, I will show you my glory. I will let my goodness pass before you. It is when we see God's goodness for as he really is that we're like, oh, Lord. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance, the Bible says. And so here, these priests were convinced, they were convicted of God's blessing in his forgiveness. They were convinced of their call. They were set apart to worship him, and he was good. He was not to be played around with. He was not to just your buddy. There was some serious death around if you step outside of life. As long as they remained in life, as long as they remained in blood and independence on the blood, they were fine. A sense of liberty there. So the space was wide, but it had its limitations. It was with God, in his will. And so God has brought us in a wide open space, in his will. So the next thing, before I go there, it's interesting that with Jesus being our high priest, and he comes to fulfill it all. The Bible says that as he did all his work, he went, and where did he go? He went and sat at the right hand of the Father. The priest went to sit because it was done. Finished. And so for us, as we consider the priesthood, don't get caught up in all the things that it has to, you know, that working for the forgiveness of God, or working for the righteousness of God. You can't. That is done. There's one sitting at the right hand of the Father until his enemies has made his footstool. And that comes through the obedience of the saints. But he is set. It is done. It is finished. Now he calls us his priests because we've got work to do. But it is not to appease him. It is because he is. It is finished. Now there's other work to do. And so righteousness with God, there's peace in him as we are in the blood. And so the priests would go and they would represent the people. They would come before God. There would be offerings. And as I encouraged you, if you didn't, please go read Leviticus 1 to 10 and just read through it. You can do that an hour at most if you're a slow reader. Don't get caught up into all the little, why did he say this? Just read through it. And to get a picture, and you see that God is making provision for every act that man can do that will separate him from God. That is what you need to hear. God is initiating relationship. God is coming close. He did that with Adam and Eve, and they sinned. So he puts them out of the garden, but he still makes promises. He wants mankind. He wants his family to be with him. And so he sets in a priesthood so that the people can be clean and holy before him. And then they muck up again. And so they go up and down. And then God comes again in Jesus, the high priest. And he says, I'll step out. I am God with man. So that people can hear. So that people can know that where the place of no sin is the place with God in him. Place where they have been created for is with him and in him. And so they would represent the people. They would bring the offerings on behalf. They would help them offer. They would make sure. They would inspect the offering. Is it right? Is it the right one for the sin? And here's what they would do. I'm just taking out a scripture so you can go and read the context there. But, and all its fat he shall remove as the fat is removed from the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it on the altar for pleasing aroma to the Lord. And this you see over and over there in the first few portions of chapters of Leviticus. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. God is not hoarding on his forgiveness. He's not withholding. There's a specific way. There's one way, Jesus Christ. But there is lots of water, lots of forgiveness going through that one way. It's almost like that picture that Uriah saw about the water and the river that comes. I mean, there's just so much forgiveness that bursts through that one channel. It's not going to be another channel. Only Jesus. And so God is echoing it. He's saying it over and over and over. And as a parent, you've got to understand this. How many times? And you can hear, I'm saying it often. Over. Dankie. Asseblief. Ja oom. Ja tannie. Nee oom. Nee tannie. Over and over. And God, like a good father, is training mankind. Is echoing it over and over. Jesus, the living word. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you and I have got to receive the instruction. Receive the word. Receive because it will be good for us. It will be life to us. The priests would help the people with the offerings. They would pronounce forgiveness. They would help the people understand, you are forgiven. That's part of our role. And they would bless the people. One of the works of the priests with the high priest Aaron was this beautiful one that we have seen and heard so many times. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, right? All the priests, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them. A blessing is saying it, all right? And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. What a powerful thing. Bless the people. Speak kindness. We are confronted, and you are on social media, and news reports, and all of that. Different cultures, different groups, gunning against one another. You can just see that spirit in the world. America, South Africa, I don't know what all the other countries, I'm not up to date with everyone's thing, but it's just this hatred to one another, unforgiveness, unresolved things, because they don't understand that they are priests of God, called to that in Christ Jesus. If they could, they would understand that God has forgiven them in Christ Jesus. They need to forgive. They need to help others forgive. They need to bless. Just imagine, cynical. Don't know how many of you've, you know, been looking at this stuff. Just imagine EFF and the Buddha coming together, standing across one another. May the Lord bless you. May he make his face to shine upon you. Huh? Just imagine. Now, political spirits and all of those things are in there. I know it. But in the church, we've got to find that. The church is the kingdom of priests that the world will look at. Remember Exodus 19, where God says that to Israel, you will be to me a kingdom of priests. John 1, he makes us a kingdom of priests. It means it's a city within the largest city of the world. It's a city that others would look at and they would see a consecrated people. They would see a people devoted to the worship of God. A people that is there to serve, to represent the people and represent God. That's what the church is to be. Others should look at, and that is how God wants us to live. To represent the people in bringing the offerings, bringing us before. That is what we did this morning. Say, hey, who of you struggling? Who of you are maybe weak in faith at this moment? You're struggling in your mind, and we all go through that. That one that is stronger, the priest says, hey, come, let me walk with you to the Lord. Let me pray with you. Let me help you understand the offering that was given to you, that you and I have free access to God. No longer just some that can go before God's presence. Everyone in Christ Jesus. And I am here to help you with that, to serve you with that. If it is that I help you pray to God, I'll help you pray to you. If it is that I help speak God's forgiveness or God's will to you, I'll help you. But I'm standing here in between, just like my bigger brother, the high priest, the mediator. We become these mediators that live the in-between, not of this world, but in this world. Heavenly in the earth. Saints, holy ones. If you go to read the New Testament, it doesn't speak that much about the priests, but they speak a lot about the holy ones. In the Old Testament, the only holy ones were the priests. So they would come and go. There's this wording in Leviticus and Numbers and a number of times where God speaks to the priest. He says, let them draw near. Let them come near. And so frequently the priests had to come near and they would call the people, even at times of battle or so. The guys are ready to fight. And then the priest would say, let us draw near to God right now. Let us ask what is God's will. Let us receive God's instruction. And so the priests, their job was to represent God. And the part of that was coming for themselves, coming to the presence of God, helping the people to come, and then also going out and instructing. They were blessing the people, as I said. They helped them. They went out to help them with the offerings. They blessed them. In Leviticus 10, it says, you will tell what is clean and unclean. You will instruct. You will teach the people. And so the priests were there, they taught the word of God. They helped the people understand what is clean, what is unclean. Isn't that what sin does to us when it feels like we feel unclean? It's embedded in how we work. There's a sense of when sin is done against you. I think especially when there's sexual sin that is done against you, there's an unclean feeling that goes with that. And what God wants His people, His priests, to come in with a message of reconciliation, a message of cleanness, a message of peace, a message of the blood of Jesus Christ. And for that, you and I need to be baptized in it, filled with it. We've got to think of it. That's the grid through which we think. We look at the people, blood or no blood, life or death. We look at God and we say, blood or was there no blood? Look, that is our grid. Glasses, if you will. You know, Polaroids, especially the fisher, the guys who fish. You want Polaroids because then you see all the fish. It's amazing. And what the blood does, it cleanses our vision. It makes us see right. We see God right. All of a sudden we can come because that is His message, but only by the blood. The world says, no, we need to run away. I can't come. I first need to stop smoking. Stop this. When I stop that, I'll come. He's not been cleansed by the blood. In Hebrews it says, have your consciences cleansed by the blood of Christ. Oh, man. You just see, that's the difficulty for my mind. When I start seeing, it's like Dit vertak net orals. It's just like all these things make sense. And it just, yeah. Because God is overarching His messages. Come close. Come closer. And then He doesn't just leave it there. He wants you to come in, worship, stand before Him, minister unto Him. And then He says, go. Listen to this beautiful one. Jesus, the high priest. It says, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. Peace only comes where there's life given, where there's bloodshed with God. It says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. It says, all the priests, all the trumpeters, all go. It's like He has sent Jesus Christ, the high priest, as He was sent into the world. He now says, you go into the world. Go. You are a priesthood. You are a peculiar people. You are a holy nation. And so, I want to end off with I've got three areas there. I'll touch on four things in that. just how can we priest? How can we serve? The word for priest is often used, Kohen. It means it's a servant, it's a minister. We speak of ministry, né? And so it's a servant of these things. And what we just, I mean, many of you are going, but just a little bit for those of you still in the Wegspring blocker. You just need a push to get out. This is how we minister to God. This is how we serve God and His people. We pray. The people couldn't pray on their own to God in the Old Testament. They couldn't come before God on their own. They had to go through the priest. God says, now, priesthood, a kingdom of priests, all come before Him. In Christ, you all can pray. You all can, and it's a place for you. It's not just a duty, it is your place. Pray. The Bible speaks of intercessions and prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of supplications and all these things. You can pray on your own behalf. You can pray on others' behalf. The way that you can come in is by praying on your own behalf. The way you can go out in prayer is praying for those around you. Praying, interceding, pulling them through the blood, if you will. Saying, Lord, have mercy on them. They have not received the blood on their own behalf, but I ask on their behalf, have mercy. None of us sit here because we have done it on our own. Somebody prayed for you. I guarantee you that. And you'll probably be surprised who prayed for you and when we get there before the Lord one day. And an image, a moment that stands like etched in my heart. I remember one morning early 2000s. And my parents lived in Langebaan for a while and my grandparents were visiting them. It's holiday time, early morning, about 5 or so, I'm standing. And I just walk down the corridor and I just hear kind of a low, deep speaking. It's my grandfather sitting there. And I just stood around the corner, kind of the wall, and I just listened. And he was reading Adi Beek. You know, it's like a devotional thing, and he would read it every morning. And then he started, just sequentially going through every member of the family. Just bringing them before the Lord. It's like, Lord, I know. Maybe not just his prayers, but definitely his prayers. We can stand before God on behalf of others. Pray. God's word. In the Old Testament, you did not just read your own scriptures. The priest read it. He instructed you. He gave the word of God. He said, this is God's will. In the early church, they, at some stage it came that the priests were the only ones reading the scriptures in some of the Roman Catholic churches and other churches, and they took away from the people the word of God. It was a select few, and it was a bit of an aberration of God's heart. And not all of their hearts were ill-intended, but they were the only ones. And so the people could not come before God. They did not know God's will. They could not speak God's word on their own. They had to go through the priests. And God's heart, as the priesthood of believers, He says, all of you, even if you are illiterate, you listen to it. You can have the word of God near you, close you. In Acts 17, Romans 17 speaks that the word of God is very near us. Irrespective of where we are, we have our being in Him. Live, move, and have our being in Him. God's word is near you. And sometimes some of you just need to get quiet. Stop. Stop. Have a moment in the day where you stop. It's funny for me how increasing as I speak to people, we're so busy, we're so distracted, and we were jokingly speaking because sometimes I do it too. While you're waiting for something, quickly send a note, quickly. You've got your phone with you and you're busy. And we're distracted by the word of God. And sometimes during the day, you just need to stop. Just listen. Just like you would give your money, give your attention. I have a pastor friend. He said, "Yes, Ruan, I mean, it's so arm. Hulle kan nie eers hulle aandag gee nie."
Nog die eerste van hulle tiende nie. They can't even give their attention, so poor are they.
Ah, man, let us not be that poor that we can't give our attention. For the priest, he stood there. It was quiet around him. It was only God. It was only the instruments of God. It was God-focused. Christ-attentive.
When God calls the disciples, he says, come, follow me. Give your attention to me. What I say, where I go, you listen, you follow.
Are you aware of his presence, of his word and his instruction? And you can give it. You don't need to have the theological explanation for those seven dragon heads in Revelation that we all like, we don't want to read it to our children. We're scared they have nightmares or so. No, you don't have to have that. You must just be able to at least give a witness to what you've experienced. Part of what you do understand in the Bible, and there are many portions that you can understand. And if you don't, find another priest that do and ask him. You can give God's word and serve. Serve. I mean, all of it is serving, but to serve through your acts. And I specifically gave acts first and then gifts, because sometimes we equate gifts with, I don't know, some kind of maturity or something. But acts, just doing something for somebody, that's good. You become a priest of God. You become a conduit. You become part of somebody saying, oh, God is good. How often do we say? And I mean, it's not completely right, because even when some things are taken away from us, God is still good. But how often do we say, yes, God was good. Something happened to my car and then somebody else helped me. Or something happened to my child and then, yes, God is good. Oh, God was faithful. We equate God's faithfulness and God's goodness with helping us in our time of need. Now that is partly right. And God's not offended by that. He wants to make us so. He wants his priests to go out and communicate a message of God's nearness, and that is by helping somebody in their hour of need.
What the hell?
And God deliberately does not want to do it by himself from up there somewhere at the right hand of the Father. No, he says, I've got priests that will help me. It's the extreme delegator. Huh? Go on behalf. As I was sent, I now send you. And so just what pops up in your mind, just start there. Later on, you'll find out, hey, maybe there's some things that you want to do just for your own. And you'll find it out, but just start somewhere. Do something to bless as far as you can that you want to bless. And then gifts. And we'll probably touch later on the gifts. But God gives his gifts, words of prophecy. I mean, painting. It's not an outright gift in the Bible, but it's definitely a gift. There's some prophetic things that come through. There's encouragement that comes through that. You walk past there, you're going to think of it. What has that done? That has helped you focus on God. Serving, it's a priestly office. It's a priestly work. And so God, many of the things that many of you are already doing, God wants to holify. Okay, the big word for it is sanctify. We have got these big words, secular and, what's the other word? Holy. What are we, with the secular world out there? No, man. When you are a priest, everything is holy. You've got to hear that. When you are a priest, what you do, because you've been set apart, you're holy. You might work, do a job different from the guy full-time like me in the church. But I can sometimes be more secular than some of you. If I do it in my own strength, in my own will, and I try and build my church and build on the principles of the world. No, businessman, businesswoman, mother, father, everything. It comes, you are first that priest who works somewhere. That's why he calls you a saint, a holy one. There's no longer secular stuff for you. And sometimes people speak like that to explain. But please, can I ask for us that we think, no, I'm holy. Because what the priest would touch, what he would make, he brought the holy. He called things clean or unclean. So, we are priests. We are prophetic. We are royal. And I know in there's some teachings where we speak of the prophet, priest, and king, speaking about the husband in the household and speaking of his leadership. But please, let not that thing take away from the ladies that you are also a priest and prophetic and royalty in you. You know, in the household, the husband is the head of the household. But I tell you, you don't always hear everything first, né? But you make the decision. And so God has given us co-heirs of the grace of God. Ina's with me. She's also a priest before the Lord. She's also that. In the New Testament, it comes now. They are no longer male nor female, slave nor free. God comes and he sets all our priests, one high priest, all our priests. Now, there are different functions. Okay, and the husband is the head of the household. Okay, so I want to make sure that you don't get that wrong. But both serve the Lord. Both bring what God has. Mary and Joseph heard that they had to go to Egypt. But Joseph had to say, we're going. She also heard God. She also. And so we all have access to God. And there are different ways how we play it out in the church. But all have access. All need to serve. Everyone. As far as I look, and Ina had a picture this morning of, she said, I asked her, what are you seeing? I said, she said, now I'm just seeing, you know, taking the quorum, eh? You want to quickly come and share that? So how,
hello, good morning. In worship, I saw a big field full of golden corn, and I just saw, just myself first, and I had to see how much of it I can gather. So I took my hands and I did this. And I felt the Lord said, you know, if I would reap this, then that's my portion, you know, as much as you can put your hands around, which in me is like carrying or taking on. And but that this is not the field. But if we all together care to put our hands around, you know, wherever you stand, then that is the whole field. And we will access the field as we care and we take our hands around the portion that's in front of you. And that's how we will, I feel, reach the town.
So every one of us has a reach. Every one of us has gifts, has a grace, has an area of influence. Just be faithful with what you have. Don't compare. You can learn better and you can see how others and learn. Have a humble heart, but reach in front of you. Reach around you. I was watching, Dirk sent me a little video clip of him that he's busy cutting haver and stuff. So he's on the tracker and stuff, and you just see all those things. And I think, okay, now he's got a limited als ball and all. But everyone, if everyone pulls in, how they do, everyone gets to be partakers. The work gets done. Everyone is blessed, and God is pleased. Amen. Prayer, God's word serves. So in this week, as you take your first step, come be filled with that word of righteousness, his blood, life. He died our death so that we can live his life. Okay. We step, we represent our people to be represented to God. That God needs to be represented to some people. We go. Prayer, the word of God, and serve. But you are a chosen people, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you had received mercy. And let's take that mercy with confidence. Let's be humble enough to believe God. Let's be humble enough to say, yes, Lord. Yes, I receive your forgiveness. Yes, I receive your call. Yes, and it's for every single one of us. Can we stand? Maybe the musicians, unless you feel God might minister to you, you can also come and get to the front. And let's have a... And I want to ask specifically in the area where as we speak about that identity, and you realize, man, I'm not realizing, I'm not receiving my identity as God is speaking it over me, as God has for me. I might not be praying, or I might not. There's a bunch of things that we might not be doing. And are you doubting that the blood of Jesus is enough for your sins? I want to ask you to just maybe close your eyes and just allow God to speak to you at this moment. What is the Holy Spirit highlighting for you? What is an area that he's calling you to come closer? To go out? See, he's the high priest. He's the one delegating all the work. We just want to give a moment that he will delegate. I do want to ask that if there's one or maybe two of you, just as your eyes are closed, as I was speaking about the priest, you realize, oh shucks, I'm outside completely. I have not given my life to Jesus, or I have backslidden. I've run away from this privilege and responsibility of a priest. I'm no longer close to God. And you want to come back this morning. I want to stand like that priest and say, hey, the offering is enough. And if you just want me to pray with you, would you be brave enough just to put up your hand? I can just pray with you. Say, Lord, I'm coming back. This is my purpose. I receive this purpose. Beauty of this is that all of us have a reach this morning and we can call everyone. So can I ask you that thing that came up in your heart right now, that you in some way commit to do, I don't know what it looks like, but that you take the first step to do that in this week and just be obedient and take the first step. And as you've taken that first step, say, okay, Lord, what next? Then what next? En as jy vashak en praat jy met een van ons. You speak to one of your community leaders or your friends. Say, Lord, help me. But I want us to keep on following Jesus as a priest. And we're going to end off, can we end off with that you are good? And sing that song that was in the heart. It's the presence of God was in the midst. It's, he is good and his mercies endure forever. Amen. Come, let's bless God.
You're good. us all, being unto me. God is holding me.
When the night,
and when the night is holding unto me, God is holding.
You're good,
because you are good, you're good.
Thank you, everyone. It was a lovely morning. Can I just ask you, just before we go, and I just want to challenge you, because we really want to be obedient to God. If there's something God has convicted you of this morning, if it's something small, even if you've stopped having your quiet time, or it's not something small, it's something big, or stop praying or whatever, can I just ask you just to go to someone and just say to him, listen, can you hold me accountable? This week, ask me on Friday, how did my quiet time go? We just want to walk in obedience, and let's hold one another accountable, because we want to move closer to God, and we want to be obedient to Him. Have a blessed week, and thank you very much. It was a lovely morning with you all. Amen. Oh yeah, there's coffee at the back, and please stay and enjoy.
God, to whom all praises due, I stand in awe of you. I'll stand in awe of you. I stand.